Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Osaka International Church. It's so good to be together in the Lord's house and together in the name of the Lord Jesus. And before we open His Word, I just want to pray and ask God's blessing on His Word that He will come and teach us by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth. So please just join with me now in prayer as we ask God's blessing and help as we turn to His Word. Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank You for all Your goodness and love. Thank You for this day, Lord, this special day, the first day of the Easter week, when we can begin to focus and concentrate fully on the suffering and the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank You for the victory that He has won for us. We thank You that He is seated at the highest place in heaven, the place of all authority. And we ask now as we turn to Your Word, that You would come by Your Spirit, teach us Your will, that we may live lives that are worthy of You, and Lord, that lives that are fruitful for Your glory. So we commit this time into Your hand. In Jesus' name.
その 3日後 お墓の中から聖霊の力によって蘇られて天の最高のところまで高く引き上げられたことを覚えて感謝いたします。その天の王座から送ってくださった御霊によって あなたの御言葉を通して教えてくださいますように、どうぞ御心を示されて、私たちはあなたの栄光になる天の父なる神様の喜ばれる実を結ぶ人生を送ることができますように、この一時を祝福して、
すべて守って導いてください。御手に委ねて、主イエスの御名によってお祈りいたします。アメン。Today we come to the third message in the series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. And we're just going to read once more together through the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through to verse 13. Matthew 6 and verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, today we come to the verse in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, verse 11. We're going to focus just on that one verse,
in verse 11 where it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now that may look like not much to talk about and on a superficial look at these words, probably the easiest in all of the Lord's Prayer to understand. But these words of the Lord Jesus contain very deep, powerful truths. And today I want to look at this in depth. So to start with, we're just going to put it in its context. Like I said, it's right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Already we looked at verses 9 and 10. And later, God willing, we will look at verses 12 and 13. But here, right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus teaches for the first time how we are to pray for our own personal needs. So until now, there's been no mention of prayer about ourselves or our personal needs. It's all been about praying for the glory of God's holy name, praying for His kingdom, the work of His kingdom, to come increasingly on this earth by coming into the hearts of people through receiving the Lord Jesus. So, the order that the Lord Jesus is teaching here is very significant. And so for the first point in today's message, we can see a little more about why the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray in this order. Because the first thing that we want to look at is having a right perspective. When we pray, it enables us to gain a right perspective, to be able to see our personal needs as God sees them, and as God provides for them, if we begin straight away to pray in our daily prayer times and pray on focusing on our personal needs, we can easily get so engrossed and caught up with a totally wrong perspective and then become ineffective in praying for others, praying for God's kingdom and for God's glory. So, praying, first and foremost, always, with God's, for God's kingdom and God's glory, gains us that proper perspective. Because it brings us into oneness with the will of God. Not through praying for our own needs that we get into that unity, that oneness, perfect oneness with the will of God. It's as we pray for others and pray for God's glory in others as well. Last week we finished in John chapter 17, verse 21, where the Lord Jesus prayed for all His believers through all generations who would believe in Him through the word of His apostles. And He said that they all may be one. Father, just as You and I are one. That's perfect oneness. We can enter into it in the place of prayer. And when we do, we will have a correct perspective. to be able to pray for our own needs. Let's look at Psalm 37 and verse 4. In the Old Testament, this truth is also illustrated. Both sides of it. First of all, let's look at the positive side in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Well, like I said, it means seeking first God's kingdom and God's glory, putting him in his right place, putting him first. And when we do that in the place of prayer, we experience this joy, which is talking here about the delight of knowing we are one with our Father in his will. Our will becomes one with his. And that was the joy of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, my joy I give unto you. And I've spoken these things to you that my joy would be in you and your joy would be full. And the only place that fullness of joy is first experienced is in the presence of God. In your presence is fullness of joy. So through prayer, seeking God first, God's kingdom and God's glory through our prayers, we're putting him first. We're making the Lord himself our supreme joy, our ultimate joy. And we can be guaranteed 100% according to this word. In that case, all our heart's desires will be granted. And that's because all our heart's desires are then in accordance with his will for our lives. When we put him first, seek first his kingdom and his glory, our desires become one with his will. And then he says, he will give you all the desires of your heart. Now that's totally different to coming and seeking first our own wants. Jesus is not teaching that God will give you all that you want. He's saying God will give you all your desires when they are in line with God's will. Now we can see the opposite side of that. This psalm we looked at, 37. Interestingly, if you reverse 37, and you get the opposite, 73. And when we look at Psalm 73, we see the opposite side of this truth. Because in there we see illustrated what it is to not have a correct perspective, to not see things as God sees them, and to be filled with discontent. Let's read from Psalm 73, first of all, verses 3 to 5. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. So it's very obvious that the perspective is totally warped. And we can see it further if we just jump down a little bit further to verses 11 to 13. Continuing to talk about the wicked, the ones who have no thought for God, are living in rebellion against God. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. And you see, it just gets worse and worse. And this perspective that is totally twisted, warped, and can't see anything in its true value. So, if we go on down this psalm, we see how long that continues. So let's go to verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the rain. So, in the Old Testament, the sanctuary of God, going in there is representing the presence of God. So until I went into the presence of God, for us now, we have that privilege through prayer in Jesus' name. We enter into the presence of God and then we begin to get a right perspective on things. And just at the end of this, I'm going to the very last verse. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So here he's saying very clearly, after coming into God's presence, how good it is for him to draw near to God. And like I said, we have the promise as believers in Jesus. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's when God draws near to us as we seek in our prayers, we begin to get the correct perspective because God fulfills his promise. And you know, this teaching is not new. In fact, this is the oldest teaching in all of the Bible. Because, you know, the oldest book in the Bible, we're told, is the book of Job. And let's just look at Job, the very end of the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. There's a few more verses after that, just enlarging on that and saying how much God blessed Job more in his latter end than before. But it all changed when Job prayed for his friends. That's when God began to bless him with blessing upon blessing, much more than he had ever experienced in his whole life before. And we know that Job was the most righteous person in all the earth, and God's blessing, he had experienced much of God's blessing. But in his latter days, he had even further blessing, much more than he had ever experienced, and it all started here. So this is the first thing with the Lord Jesus, is when he teaches us praying for our needs in this order, after we get the correct perspective and can pray for our needs in accordance with God's will, he will bless us more abundantly than we've ever experienced before. Let's move into the second point. And this is a very deep spiritual principle. And the Lord Jesus says, as I say, a few simple words, give us this day our daily bread. looks very simple and very easy to understand, but actually there is a deep spiritual principle which we can say is a law, a spiritual law of God's kingdom. Because you see, he says, give us this day our daily bread. You're not to pray for tomorrow's blessing or tomorrow's grace or next week's grace. God only gives us his grace as we need it. And not just material provision for our material needs. It applies right across the board in everything. Spiritual needs, everything. God gives us his grace, his help, his strength, his protection, his power, only as we need it for the day. And we can see this clearly. The Lord Jesus goes on after this prayer finishes. And the rest of the chapter, basically, the whole chapter of chapter 6, he teaches us what the purpose of this is, this law that God works according to in his kingdom. And it is that we can learn to walk by faith. God is teaching us continually not to walk by sight, by what we see, but to fix our eyes on him, the eyes of our heart. As the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. And then in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith. And this is the deep spiritual principle of why God only gives us the grace we need as we need it. And when we learn, it doesn't happen overnight, but as we go on in the life of faith, and God teaches us increasingly to walk by faith, we get set free from the worry and the fears that the people of this world, unbelievers who do not know God, are continually controlled by. You see, you can look here at verse 6, and from verse 19 right through, or sorry, chapter 6, verse 19 through to the end of verse 34, it's all about having right values based on a correct perspective and being set free from worry and fear as we learn to walk by faith. Here he says, the Lord Jesus, look at the birds of the air, as he goes on to explain what he's talking about here, teaching us to seek God first in our lives. And one of the ways we can learn how he works through his creation, the spiritual laws in his kingdom are in parallel with the laws, the physical laws he has built into his creation. And Jesus uses creation and how it works, how God works in the laws of physics in creation. Look at the birds, look at the flowers of the field, and learn from nature, he says, that your Father, who provides and sustains and cares for all these things, will care for you. He will provide for you. He knows all your need before you even ask him. So like I said previously in earlier weeks, the ultimate purpose of prayer is not to get things, it's to become one with God, united in our hearts, our wills becoming one with His will. And, you know, the Lord Jesus in this chapter took a lot of time and space to teach the importance of this. And He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's at the end of chapter 6 in verse 33. For today's trouble is sufficient for today. Tomorrow can worry for itself. Now the Lord Jesus is not saying you can't plan or make plans for your future. The Lord Jesus is not saying that, you know, we cannot use the abilities He has given us to, in common sense, make plans for our future provision. But what He is saying is that we should never allow that to become the controlling factor, and that worry, fear that it will bring, never allow that to become the thing that controls your heart. So there is a deep spiritual principle, which is a law of God's kingdom. And you know, even the Apostle Paul, after experiencing so much revelation from God and experiencing so much for his witness to the Lord Jesus, you know, the persecution in 2 Corinthians 11, he tells us about it. And in chapter 12, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. This is just to encourage you that even a man as spiritual as the Apostle Paul had to continually learn this lesson, that God gives His grace as and when it's needed. Now concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this is the man who experienced such revelation that God had to allow him to experience a thorn in the flesh, physical weakness, infirmity, to protect him from becoming spiritually proud. And even at this stage in his life, the Apostle Paul is still learning that God gives his grace, the power, the resurrection of Christ, to overcome. But he gives his grace as and when we need it, and not before. So if the Apostle Paul was still learning at this stage in his life, we can be sure that for you and I, you know, we're never free from the temptation to worry. As long as we are on this earth, we will never be free from the temptation to worry about our lives, about our future. And the thing is, it's the most fundamental strategy and tactic of Satan to rob us of the peace that God wants us to enjoy, always, in all circumstances. And so this is a very fundamental, powerful truth to learn and remember always. God gives us His grace when we need it, as we need it, and not before. Finally, there's another powerful truth contained in these words, because if this is the law that works, spiritual law that works in God's kingdom, it's the same for when we think of our spiritual bread, spiritual sustenance. And the third point is, the Lord Jesus taught us that much more important than physical bread and physical food, we need daily sustenance, spiritual bread for our souls. And we first see that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Let's just look. This is when the Israelites came out of Egypt, going through the wilderness. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." I'm sure you know the story that for 40 years God rained bread from heaven, manna from heaven. And here He clearly commands from the outset that it must be gathered day by day on a daily basis. He will not provide tomorrow's portion today. And some of the people disobeyed and put God to the test, and they gathered more than was necessary for one day, thinking they could store some up. And we know what happened. The manna rotted. It didn't keep even for a second day. And so, again, this spiritual principle, this law of God's kingdom, is being taught from the very start, way back there, that in our relationship with God, we need every day to feed our souls on His Word. So when Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's assuming that we are praying every day and at the same time teaching that we need the bread of life, that spiritual food, which is the Word of God, even more for our daily sustenance in our relationship with Him. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. The Lord Jesus was tested. The Lord Jesus was tested on this point in the wilderness. It says, just read from verse 1 to verse 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, 'You are the Son of God. Command these stones become bread.' But He answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Now humanly speaking, we would think after 40 days without eating physical bread would be more important. But the Lord Jesus is showing us very clearly
that there is a bread which is much more important than physical bread, physical food. The Word of God, which we have here in the Bible. And like the Lord Jesus, we should memorize it and be able to quote it when we need to on a daily basis. Today being Palm Sunday, you know, it reminds me of the first time the people tried to take the Lord Jesus and make him their king. It wasn't Palm Sunday, but before that, when he fed more than a crowd of 5,000 people with a very little food, 5 loaves and 2 fish, the Lord Jesus miraculously provided for probably at least 10,000 people, 5,000 men, so that's not including women and children. And straight after that, those people came and took him, tried to take him to make him their king. Like Todd was praying earlier and read earlier, in contrast to the Palm Sunday where they welcomed him into Jerusalem as their king. Back then, they tried to take him and forcefully make him their king because they wanted a material kingdom that would guarantee all their physical wants and needs. When they saw him miraculously feeding the crowd with so little food, and all they're thinking about is their material needs. In a material kingdom on this earth. But Jesus, it says, departed from them alone into a mountain. He refused to be a king of a material kingdom on this earth. And then on Palm Sunday, just a matter of days before he would be crucified, the same crowd who were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," several days later, within a week, were shouting, "Crucify him." Because they didn't want a king who was not going to satisfy all their material needs and dreams and ambitions. But the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 6, verse 35. "He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." He's not talking about physical thirst or hunger. He's talking about spiritual hunger and thirst. That he will satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. And he told those people, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for that food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." Just in the previous verses of John chapter 6, verses 27 to 29. And they ask him, "Well, what can we do that we may work the works of God?" And he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And so through faith in his word, we enter into the relationship with God. And through faith and daily feeding on his word,
We grow in that faith. And through faith, He will complete our salvation. It's all through faith. And the spiritual sustenance to experience that has to be a daily feeding on His word and daily prayer. So these are fundamental but deep, powerful truths based on spiritual laws of God's kingdom that will never change. And the Lord Jesus says you can learn these things even through looking at how God works in creation. Just in closing, the purpose, as I said, that we learn to walk by faith and be free from fear and worry. You know, the Lord Jesus' teaching here is that worry, to be controlled by worry, to allow it to take over our hearts, where His peace should be ruling our hearts. When worry rules our hearts, He said, it's a sin. It's a sin to be controlled by worry. And that's why He took so much time, so much space to teach these deep, powerful truths all through the second half of Matthew chapter 6. And of course, it reminds us of Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds, guard, protect, with His peace, if we will daily seek Him first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for our Savior, the Bread of Life. We thank You that He was willing to suffer torture, agony on the cross, to suffer unto death, that we might have these powerful blessings, these powerful truths made real here and now in our experience. So we pray, Lord, that You would help us daily to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, to pray daily, and to feed on Your word daily, and to have a correct perspective, and to know that oneness with You that we can be sure all our heart's desires are granted in accordance with Your will. So Lord, we just thank You for this time and these powerful truths of Your word. Continue to teach us by Your Spirit not to worry, but to commit everything to You in prayer, to know that peace that passes all understanding. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.